Hi guys. Where's my notes? There it is. Testing, testing. Are we live? We are live. We are so live. Damn it, I forgot to get my drink. Whatever. Hi guys, and welcome to episode 6 of Extra Pickles, please. Today's episode is titled Beyond the Bikini, and I wanted to talk about my experiences as a bodybuilding bikini competitor. Before I get started, I definitely want to just put out some content warnings and trigger warnings. I do talk about eating disorders, disordered eating patterns. I also talk about excessive exercise, poor self-body image, and just a lot of topics that could be sensitive to some listeners. So I definitely want to just make sure that you guys are locked in, strapped in, and ready to go on this ride with me. This topic alone is definitely one that I have come to terms with in the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years of things that I really feel like I need to talk about more often. Because, in regards to my relationship with working out in the gym, that is no longer existent anymore. And I want to also be honest and transparent in this conversation that, competing definitely ruined that for me. I want to also put out a disclaimer that I will not be dropping any names. All of the decisions that I made and all of the choices that I made in regards to this sport was solely my decision. I obviously had the support and guidance of a coach, of which I will not name, but I will also be talking about my experiences with having a coach. I've had multiple coaches, so, I'll have to figure out how to refer to either or. But overall, this journey was not for the weak. That's all I gotta say. This journey of bodybuilding and competing in this industry was not for the weak. In terms of what this title means to me, Beyond the Bikini, I want to talk about like my resilience and what I ended up doing after competing and after getting out of the sport. I started this sport late 2016 was when I first inquired with my coach, and I stopped about summer of 2018, and I was done. So I only competed for like 2-ish years, 2.5-ish. And the reason for me to get into this sport, if you were to ask me back then when I started, I would have said it was to teach myself discipline and to teach myself hard work ethic and what it means to want something so bad. But if you're asking me right now, April 9th, 2020, I almost said 2026, April 9th, 2025, it was solely to get validation and attention. And I'm being so honest about that. This conversation matters to me because I feel like it's not talked about enough in regards to the fad diets, the crazy cuts, the intense and extreme workouts and over-exercising, of course. And also, like, I want to talk about the costs of it. I want to make sure that I am very clear when I say this was 100% my choice. Nobody forced me into the sport. Nobody forced me to do anything that I didn't think I was capable of doing. But at the same time, I didn't recognize or realize the harm that it was doing to my body and my brain and literally all of my body parts. So let's get right into it. What the bikini represented to me. So in this time of my life, I would say 2016, 2017, the fitness industry in Columbus, Ohio was booming. I also went to a gym where a lot of fitness competitors went to, and I'm not gonna lie, there was a girl that I knew that was competing, and I like totally looked up to her, and I was like, I want to get into it. She talked me through it, and I was like, I can do this. Let's go. So I inquired with a coach at that time, and he asked me like, what are your goals? What do you want to get out of this experience? And I literally said, I want to learn self-discipline, and I want to be better about food intake and fitness. It was a bunch of bullshit goals. And again, at that time, I was like 20. I was 20. I was literally 20. Prefrontal cortex was 5 years away from being fused. So I was 20 years old. I wanted to be fit. I wanted to be healthy. I wanted a six pack or at least a form of abs. And I wanted to cut every corner that I can to get to that point. My first coach was based here in Columbus, and he really, really, really wanted me to train with him in person. But at the time, I was in undergrad and I was working full time, I was in college, I was interning full time. And I was like, there's no way I could one, afford this, and two, like, have the time to work out. And like, I had my own set routine of when I wanted to work out and whatnot. So that was that. The bikini to me, like, I'll never forget my first bikini. First off, my first bikini was off of Poshmark. I literally bought it off of Poshmark, off of an ex-competitor. Didn't have it fitted to me, didn't really sit on me well, but that's what I could afford because I was literally 20 years old. Right off the bat, he asked me about, what did he ask me? He asked me about supplements and if I wanted to get on anything. I said, absolutely not. I want to do this 100% naturally. And he was all for it. Now, in regards to nutrition, I am going to be so transparent. I know not shit. I know nothing about nutrients. All I knew was give me the macros, give me how much I have to eat of everything and how much I have to weigh everything out. I'm good. But I didn't realize that the macros and the nutrients that I was taking in was not enough for my body. Now, I did try to go through my email to find my old diet plans and to find my old workout plans. They're gone. I don't know where they are. I don't know if I deleted them or after a certain amount of time they just get automatically deleted. But I found my old check-in pictures and I was mortified. Mind you, I have not opened these pictures back up since 2016 and on. So anyways, I get the process started. I'm starting to notice that like I am cutting weight and I am making weight. Like there was a desired target weight too that he wanted me to be at. So like that was the number that was in my head. Through this process though, I was the biggest bitch ever. Not only that, I was going through so much with school. I had just lost my grandfather and I was literally grieving still. And I was in the worst place of my life. Now, being in the worst place of my life and prepping is not an excuse to be an asshole. But that was my excuse when I was 20 years old. I was going off on people left and right. Me and my now husband were going at it every single night. I was crying, screaming, throwing shit. Like I was insane. Like I was not okay. But again, my mind was focused on the prize. My mind was like, I want one of those trophies. I want one of those trophies with those sexy ass girls on it that have those really, really big muscles and like just look amazing. And it was a fucking trophy. It was literally a trophy, but I wanted it so bad. I didn't care if it was anywhere between first and fifth. I wanted a trophy. So I prepped for, I think, what felt like 6 months, and I wasn't really good at it, but I was still as disciplined as I could be. So I would miss out on birthday dinners. I wouldn't go over and eat dinner with my family because I knew I'd be tempted really easily to eat, whatever it is that they were having. At dinners, like anytime I would go out to dinner, I would bring my scale with me, which is, first of all, so fucking toxic. Why would I bring a scale to a restaurant? But I did it anyways because that's what everybody did at that time. I brought a scale to a restaurant. I literally weighed out my food. If I didn't bring my own food and I would order off of their menu, I would order chicken and rice and maybe a vegetable, whether it was broccoli or asparagus or spinach, and I would have them bring them out separately on different plates. I would weigh it out and put it on one bigger plate, and that was my meal. How fucking toxic is that? But I was 20. That was my life. And I know deep down in my heart that people were trying to support me as best as possible, but Some of y'all did not stop me. Some of y'all just let me do my thing, which I really appreciate. But why didn't nobody tell me this was weird? Why did nobody tell me, like, this is strange? Why are you doing this? I think another reason why I did it too was because of the attention that you got from my hometown and from, my friend group. I was the only person that I knew of that was doing this extreme sport. I was the only person that, and I think that's what made me feel so validated because I was the only one. I was the only one in the sport. I was the only one competing. And it got me a lot of attention. And it was so bad that I changed my Instagram to Lean Machine. Who the fuck? Who the fuck is that? Lean Machine? Are you kidding me? That is so fucking corny. So fucking corny. But that was my life. That was who I was. And I actually have not visited this part of myself in a very long time, so I'm sorry if I get emotional. Actually, no, I'm not sorry, but I may get emotional on this episode because I just thinking back to that time, that was one of the worst times of my life, both physically and emotionally. The toll that this sport took not only on my mental and physical health and also my financial health is disgusting. My bikini alone, so I competed 2016. Let me start there. I competed in 2016 and I competed at a show in Cleveland. I got 16th. I got 16th and I still had the nerve to walk away upset as shit. I literally got I got a participation medal and I still walked away upset as shit. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, I had no reason to be up there when I did because one, physically, I did not meet or fit criteria of what I needed to look like. But you know what? Props to me for getting up there because fuck it. Secondly, my makeup artist played me. She played me so hard. She slept in and forgot about my appointment, so we ended up doing my makeup in the bathroom stall of the auditorium. Lightning was shit. My tan was terrible. Whoever hired that tanning company, they need to get fired because my tan was fucking terrible. But compared to other girls, I looked the worst. So in my head, I was like, they played me. They played me. The whole national physique community or committee or whatever, they played me. They set me up for failure. I blamed everybody else. I blamed every motherfucker in that room for the reason why I performed the way that I did and the way I looked. Now, the tan and makeup, yeah, I could definitely put blame there. But physically and mentally, where I was at, I was not ready for that stage, but I went anyways because it was the all natural competition. They drug tested there, and I'm not taking no drugs, so I was like, I'm all natural. Let's try it out. I literally got 16th place. Did I tell anybody that? No, I didn't tell anybody for a long time because I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, and all the hard work I put in, quote, I'm doing air quotes, hard work I put in to get to that point, essentially felt like it was going to waste. So after that first competition, I was like, up this, I'm not doing this anymore. I then went on to a crazy binge after that. It only lasted like maybe 2 months until I was like, okay, I want to try it out again, but I want to try it out with a new coach. So I took 2 months off of training, working out, anything. I ate like shit. I was terrible about food, and my stomach issues were coming back. And I honestly like took a break from it, like really took a break from it for about, I would say, 6 months. And then 2017 rolls around, and I was like, I want to get back into it, but I want a new coach. So I got a new coach. My new coach, he was great at the time. He was really supportive. I really loved working with him and his partner. But again, I was literally 21, 22 years old, didn't know what the hell I wanted out of life, just wanted attention, wanted that instant gratification, and just like wanted people to be like, oh my God, look at Rena, look at her go, blah, blah, blah. So I worked with this coach. I'm sending in my check-in pictures. First off, that's another red flag. I mean, maybe it is, maybe like in my, with my prefrontal cortex fully fused, I look back and I was like, I was literally sending this man a picture of my ass. And like, I'm literally half naked. Like, I'm literally sending him pictures of me half naked for check-in pictures. But that didn't seem to be a concern of mine at the time. Mind you, I was dating my now husband, and God bless him. He was so supportive of me and everything that I was doing. He was taking my check-in pictures and whatnot, and that was that. Anyways, the following few years, I planned on competing in three shows, but only ended up making two because I just wasn't ready for the first show of that season. But the financial toll that this sport takes on the, oh God, the financial toll that this sport took on me was insane. My bikini alone was over a grand. I'm telling you right now, it was literally an emerald green suit with Swarovski, however the hell you say it, Swarovski's crystals. I don't even know if that's fact or not. I mean, I believed it because they were high quality suits, but I had to have the specific one. I had to have the specific brand. All the girls were wearing it. All the IFBB pros were wearing it. So I went with this brand based out of California. They were at the Arnold Sports Festival. I met the owner. She was great. I was like, I want to buy a bikini. And she was able to do payment plans. So I was able to pay half of it up front. And then my parents, God bless them, so supportive, decided to help me out and pay for the rest as like a birthday slash Christmas gift for that year. Mind you, this bikini was over $1,000 and it was perfectly fitted to me up until like I think 5 weeks out to my show date. They asked for my measurements. I was constantly measuring everything, measuring my thighs, measuring my waist, measuring my hips, measured everything because I had to include that in my check-in at some points. Anyways, so the financial toll was crazy. Not only did I have to pay for the bikini, I had to also pay for my membership for to the NPC, the National Physique Community Committee, I think. And then I also had to pay registration fees for shows, which could start at like $300, from what I remember. Not only that, if the show was out of state or out of the city, I had to pay for hotels. I had to pay for my fucking spray tan, and I also had to pay for makeup and hair. Literally, nothing was free. The sport had nothing free. The only thing that was free was the goddamn button that they gave me, my number. So, anyways, financial toll was crazy. I was literally burning through my savings account because I was just trying to keep up on payments to my coaches, payments for my meal plans, payments for suit, makeup, hair, all the things. It was literally like how much I would pay for to getting ready for a wedding, essentially. That shit was nuts. So, first show got really fucked over by makeup and tan. Second and third show, a lot better. I did go back to the same makeup artist and she did deliver, but it was because my coach was on her ass about it. And I, thank you, girl. My makeup looked bomb the second time around. I don't know what the fuck you did that first time. So second and third show comes around. At this point, I'm like 21 or 22. I can't even remember. Dieting wise, my calories were so low that I would wake up like ravenous. And midway through my prep, I just remember I was like, I can't do this. I'm not capable of this. And I didn't tell my coach. That was my choice. That was my fault. I didn't tell my coach that I wasn't capable of doing it. So I tried to replace the calories that he gave me with, or like the meal plans he gave me with different things. So halfway through my prep, I did end up binging because I was so upset and just like, I was like, all my progress, like, I'm not making any progress. So, what's the point of like doing anything more? So, I binged, and I'm not surprised by how much it impacted my weight because I brought it upon myself. I never once told my coach because I was embarrassed and I was shameful and I was scared. I truly believe that if I did tell my coach that like I was falling back into old disordered eating patterns, he would have had me stop immediately or help me in any way. But I was too arrogant and stubborn to be like, nah, like, I'm just gonna try to ride this one out. So my second show ever comes around, and this one is in Kent. And I think it was another natural show. Because again, I refused to take any medications. One of my coaches asked me if I wanted to go on Tren, and I said, you are shitting me. You want me to go on steroids? That's fucking crazy. Fortunately enough, I was smart enough to say no to that, especially at my naive stage of development. But I said no. So I solely targeted like the natural shows. I went to Kent, I competed, I got fifth. All right, I'm sorry. I got sixth. I got sixth. Placing was one through five. I got sixth. I was very proud of myself. I was like, okay, like, let's fucking go. I was very proud of myself because that was so much progress from when I got 16th to now getting sixth. I was very proud of myself. Again, it was a rough time. I remember the night before my show. So I met one of my really good friends at the time, Morgan, through not only my coach, but my team and also the show. Morgan was from Michigan, and Morgan and I basically were miserable together throughout the whole process. Morgan and I talked like almost every day. We prepped together. We were just each other's supports. And at that time, I was in a really dark place in my relationship with my now husband. And what Jake didn't know is that when you get tanned, you're butt ass naked. Like you were literally butt ass naked in these tents with 95 other girls in the room. And I never really thought anything of it because I was like, it's just a bunch of chicks in a room getting tanned. But what was different about the other time around was there was male figures tanning us. And at the time, he was a little uncomfortable with it, which I mean, I totally understand, but I didn't think anything of it. So he was a little upset about that. After I was like, yeah, a dude tanned us, or he was just kind of caught off guard by it. It then caused a huge argument that didn't have to happen on my behalf because of how much I was fucking crashing out on this prep. Like, if I thought that my prep, my first time around when I was 20 was bad, my prep when I was 21, 22 years old was 10 times worse. I, again, was dealing with a lot of residual grief of losing my grandfather a year before, that all that grief, all of the prep stuff, all of just like where I was at mentally in school, in my internship, I was not okay. I remember the day before my Kent show, I left our hotel room in the middle of the night. I was like, fuck it, I'm not competing. And I was having really, 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 really bad, negative, unsafe thoughts that I drove away and I called my husband and I was like, this, I'm not doing this anymore. He stayed on the phone with me the whole time while I was crashing out, had a panic attack in my car in a random parking lot in the middle of Kent, Ohio. I had no idea where the hell I was. And once I got myself together, I went back to the hotel. And when I showed up, there were three police cars in the parking in the parking lot. I was terrified. And then I also crashed out again. I was like, why the fuck did you call the police? And he's like, I didn't. And I'm like, then why are there three police cars in the parking lot? The police cars being in the parking lot was completely unrelated to my crash out, but I was scared it was because of me, because of how bad my reaction was. So I got no sleep that night. And my coach and anybody that's competed will tell you how important it is to get a good night's rest before a show, or else, like, you're just gonna look terrible the next day. I woke up, and I went and got my hair and makeup done. I was already in a really bad headspace, but you fake it till you make it. So I faked being happy, faked a smile, and I remember it was, we were heading to the auditorium and it was showtime. I remember walking into that room and I just looked at every single girl. I looked at their biceps, their triceps, their abs, and I was in my head so bad that I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Everybody else looks better than me. I don't have a six pack of abs. I look fucking terrible. My pickle pump isn't working. My fucking Reese's cup isn't working. Like, nothing was working. And I was like, I am not made for this. I'm not fucking doing this. So I was like, whatever. I'm already here. Let me get on stage and suck it up. I get on stage, nailed my posing down perfectly. And I'm gonna get into posing here in a little bit and how that's affected my life. Nailed my posing down perfectly. I felt so good walking off stage, and that was that. Final call outs were that evening, and they kept shifting me around, and I was so excited because I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna get a trophy. I'm gonna get that trophy that I've always wanted. And I ended up being on, I wasn't exactly in the middle, but I was just on the outskirts. Not all the way left, not all the way right, but just like on the outskirts of the middle or the top five. I placed six, and I was like, I'll take it. I will take it. So I will never forget that feeling after getting sixth. And right after we left, I fucking binged. And I feel like binge culture is so prominent in this sport, especially after a show, because now we are stuffing our fucking faces with these nasty ass, giant ass cookies, donuts, all these things. We are now just shoving shit in our face, eating everything left and right. We went out to team, or I didn't go out to team dinner, but I went out to dinner and I ate this big ass burger. And I will never forget the feeling I had after I ate it, because in my head, I'm like, this is just a fad. Like, I have to eat this. I have to eat my burger. I have to eat these donuts because that's what you do in this sport. I was so fucking sick, like, maybe for 5 days after that happened. And I was pretty fucked. I was pretty fucked. And I had a show, I think, 3 weeks after that. And I was like, God, I gotta get my shit together. So after the Kent show, I had a couple weeks to get back into the routine and then finally hit peak week. Then I was off to Dayton. Dayton was the show that fucked everything up for me. And I was like, I'm never doing this shit ever, 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 ever again. I didn't have my period for like 2 years of prepping because it does something to your body. To the point where, like, you lose your period. And also, my first coach made me go off of birth control, which was kind of weird, but I mean, he didn't make me, but he recommended, and I followed his recommendation, and I got off birth control, got back on it the following year, and I had not bled for the for that year and a half of prepping and competing. And tell me why I get on stage at the Dayton show. And immediately, as I'm doing my back pose, which is where you stick your ass out to show the judges your glutes, I started my period on stage. Now, thankfully enough, it wasn't like this is a TMI, but it wasn't like it was running out of my bikini bottoms, but I just knew I need to get off this stage immediately. I get off stage and I immediately go to the bathroom and I start bawling my eyes out because I'm just bleeding out. Like, I am bleeding so much. My entire bikini bottom is stained. You could s it's peering through. It's peering through the Swarovski crystals or whatever the fuck. It's peering through the crystals. You could obviously see that I was bleeding. I was so upset, and final call outs were like a couple hours away, and I was like, I'm not doing this. I am not going back. I'm not going back to do final call outs. I'm just gonna go home. And my teammates at the time were like, just do it. Like, come with us. We'll support you. And they were so great. They were so sweet. I would not have made it through that prep or that competition season without my teammates and also without my competition mom, as I would call her. She helped. She is a family friend of ours. She helped me pose. She helped me get ready. She was with me between the judging and then final call out. She was with me through it all, so I really appreciated her for that. But I will never forget the bloat I had on stage because my period had just started, and I was so upset. Hey, Munchkin. Hi, come here. Come here. Come here, Bubbas. Hi, Lovas. Can I get Kev? Thank you. Say hi. So anyways, that was the end of it for me because I think I just kind of hit a, I think I just hit like a brick wall. I was at a point of burnout of no return. That is my competing history. In regards to the dieting and the exercise, I think at one point I was up to 2 hours of cardio a day, whether that was broken up or all in total. Again, I'm just pulling these numbers out of my memory. I could be wrong, but that's what sounds correct to me. My calories, I was calorie deficient for like weeks leading into my show, and I was not eating enough. But then that also impacted my mood because obviously I was hangry all the time. I was the biggest bitch to everybody in my life. You can literally ask anybody in my life who was part of that time, like, what was I like during that time of my life, and they would literally say she was the biggest bitch ever. And I want to also say that during my first prep, at least, one of my really, really true, true, true best friends at the time, Taylor, she was such a big support of mine. She and I kind of started this fitness journey together, and we were very much like in the world together. And when I said I wanted to compete, she was in full support. She came to my Cleveland show. She hung out with Jake the whole time, and like she was just such a big support to me. So, you know, when I think back on my support team, I think of her, I think of my friends, my family, Jake. But I can tell you right now that of the people that were part of my life that time, I did not treat them like how I should have in regards to being respectful, being, you know, just like aware of what was going on at the time. So just who I was at the time, I'm very ashamed of, but I am allowing that shame and that guilt to enter, re-enter right now because that was a time in my life where I didn't know what I wanted, but I thought I did, but I definitely didn't. All I knew was I just wanted attention, instant gratification, validation. I wanted people to look at me and see that I was a hard worker and that I could maybe get a set of abs in like 6 months. I don't fucking know. It was such a terrible time. I'm just kind of like jumping all over the place right now, but I want to talk a little bit about the grief that I experienced during my prep of losing my grandfather. So my grandpa and my grandma, who's still alive, my grandpa was like the person that helped raise me. I knew I was gonna get emotional. He was the person that I told everything to because I knew I would get like praise and validation from him when I told him I was doing something good. When I told him I was competing, I mean, he's Lao. He doesn't really understand what that means, but I told him about it. I told him about how I work out and I build muscle, and he was like, "Go for it. I'm so proud of you." And at this time of my first prep, my grandpa was getting really sick, and I learned that he had cancer and that he was just too far gone, and he was only given a couple months. But he definitely lasted more than just a few months, which I'm very grateful to have that time with him for. But I remember when I went to Cleveland, I think we were only just like 3 weeks away from losing him. But I remember I FaceTimed him and he asked how I did. I could tell he was really weak. He asked how I did. And I showed him my participation medal as if I won something. And he was so proud of me. And he's like, "I knew you would do it. I'm so proud of you." And he's like, "I can't wait to see it when you come home." And I remember hanging up the phone. I was like, "God, that felt so terrible." Like he wouldn't be upset and he wouldn't really judge if I told him I got 16th that night, but I didn't have it in me to just give him the bad news and showed him like how upset I was. So I just showed him my little participation medal. I'm like, "Oh yeah, look what I got, blah blah blah." And he was really excited. But I always said that I would compete again for him because I wanted to prove to him that I was worth something. And so I'm over here like trying to prove my worth to everybody else of like, "Oh, look at me, look at what I can do. I'm worth something." But I feel like deep down, and he never expected anything out of me. He never told me like, "You need to make yourself, you have to make something out of this for yourself or make a name for yourself." He never once told me that. I brought that upon myself. So after he passed and I took a little break, I was like, "I'm going to go back and I'm going to show grandpa that I'm able to do this." And we had already lost him and it was already almost a year by this point. But I was like, "I want to prove to him that I can do this." So anyways, I competed, got sixth. That was great. And then went on to competing at Dayton. I think I got like eighth and I was like, "Fuck it, whatever." And yet again, binged after that and that was the end of my competing history. Now, a lot of girls on my team have way more extravagant and longer history than I did, but I was only capable of doing three shows total in my entire life, or else I think I would have fucking died. Like, I think I would have literally died. So yeah, I was grieving a whole lot throughout my prep. I was not in a good place. I think, and I hope there's like a mental health screening for girls who want to do who want to compete, because if you are not mentally in a good spot, this sport is not for you. And I wish I could have gone back to my old self and said that because, yeah. I was not in a good place. So the routine with competing is every single week, right when you wake up, you send in a weekly check-in. So your weight, you send pictures of your front, your back, and your sides. And that was my life for a couple of years. And then once you got closer to competition days, you would send in daily check-ins. You would send in your macros. You would send in how much you ate every single day. You tracked it on a spreadsheet. MyFitnessPal was my best friend. Fuck that app, first and foremost. MyFitnessPal was my best friend when I was prepping, and that was literally like my go-to for everything. I can no longer eat broccoli or chicken and rice, like just plain. Egg whites, no. I like gag if I eat rice cakes. Like I just can't do rice cakes no more. I will say my second coach was a lot more lenient in terms of what I ate, so I had a lot more variety going for me. Whereas my first coach, his meal plan was absolute ass, and that just did not do anything for me. But also, I chose this. I chose this. I chose that lifestyle. I chose prepping. So, like, I can't blame anybody but myself. But also, like, I think I want to blame the industry for promoting and glorifying essentially eating disorders. So, yeah. So taking a step away and stepping away from the stage, I obviously stopped competing because I was so tired of feeling the way that I did. I stopped competing also because I was just like disgusted with myself and mentally who I was towards people. Just because I was prepping, just because I was competing is not an excuse as to why I was an asshole to people, but also because of how my moods were. Like, I cut people out of my life left and right. I was very mean. I was very in my head, and I was also very insecure. Let's start there. I was very, very insecure about myself and how I looked, especially after prepping. What I thought looked like the ideal body was basically anorexia. I got diagnosed with anorexia nervosa about a couple months after I competed because I didn't come off of prep appropriately. I just kind of like said fuck it, binged a little bit, and then stopped eating completely. I had a terrible, terrible, terrible relationship with food. Couldn't eat for some time, had a really hard time with just getting meals in. I deleted my Fitness Pal the moment I left Kent, or I'm sorry, the moment I left Dayton, because I was like, I'm not turning back. I'm not doing this shit ever again. And I just said, fuck it, and basically drilled my body into a very, very, very deep, deep, dark hole. During that time of obviously dealing with my eating disorder and then also still trying to remain fit, I guess. I lost a part of my identity that drove me nuts. Like, I was no longer a competitor. I was no longer, in prep, because that was such a huge piece of my identity that I was starting to project a lot of that anger towards everybody else. Bro, I was still a bitch. I wasn't even prepping and I was still a bitch. I had a really bad falling out with a couple of friends. I still tried to maintain like that thin look with like muscle on me. My body was constantly changing because of like the fluctuations in what I was eating, but also, when I was dealing with being anorexic, I wasn't eating, so just like the fluctuations in weight was actually crazy. When I went to Vietnam in the winter of, I think it was 2018, I went to Vietnam with my parents and Jake, and that was kind of the turning point for me where I finally felt true, genuine happiness because I was free. I didn't have anybody, I didn't send in any check-in pictures. I didn't have to track my macros or track what I was eating. I didn't have anyone to report to on a weekly or daily basis. So I felt free. But I still was struggling with eating. So, like, I would try and go eat And when I was in Vietnam, like I was so excited because I wanted to eat everything. My brain wanted to eat everything, but then another part of my brain was like, no, you're gonna get fat, or you're going to lose all that progress and you're not gonna be thin anymore. So I was constantly battling myself. But we went to Vietnam, and that's when Jake proposed. And you know, I felt true, genuine joy on that trip because I was able to eat a little bit within reasoning, at least for my standards at the time, but definitely not as much as I wanted to. Because if you've ever been to Southeast Asia, Vietnam specifically, you know how much food and the culture surrounding food plays such a vital role in the culture itself. So that was kind of disheartening that I wasn't able to eat as much as I wanted to. I remember I felt like really fatigued and really sick on and off just because, like, again, weight fluctuations and I was constantly losing weight. I was still low key a bitch, but I think at that point I was doing a little bit better. I didn't follow up with a dietitian. I didn't inquire about doing like an intensive outpatient program, per my doctor's recommendation because I was scared. I didn't want to label myself as sick. I just, you know, wanted to be like, this is temporary. Like there's nothing wrong with me. I actually do have a history of having anorexia when I was, I think, 12 or 13 in middle school. It was so bad that I actually got hospitalized, but this is actually crazy. I never told the doctors that I was anorexic. I never, when I went to the ho when I was hospitalized, because I was really, really sick and like I was super dehydrated. My parents never said that I had any struggles with food because I think there was that fear that they were going to send me elsewhere. So we just kept that part of what was going on quiet. I just said like, oh, I think I might have just like overworked myself at practice or something because I played lacrosse at the time. And so yeah, like now that I know what I know about eating disorders, I look back on my life and I, sorry. I look back on my life and I am so grateful because I easily could have died. Just knowing how bad my eating disorder was when I was a kid, not only when I was a kid, but also after prepping for a competition, just knowing how bad it was and knowing that that like could have led to me dying is a really scary thought because the life that I live now, I'm so grateful for. But in that regard, I think that I have kept this part of my life under wraps for so long because I didn't want to be viewed as broken, as sick, as problematic, or, you know, whatever. But it's I just think that I. Hey. I just feel like I was always so constantly worried about how everyone else viewed me. I was so worried about I just wanted to know that everyone looked at me and was like, oh my gosh, Serena is so amazing. Like, look at her go. All the comments, all I was so sucked into that world that I wasn't realizing what it was doing to my body in a physical sense. But you know, to this day, I think back to that time, and I mean, I guess I can definitely consider it a traumatic time in my life because not only was I going through the grief of losing my grandfather, but also losing myself, honestly, like losing myself, losing relationships. I truly did lose myself during that time of my life. And so a little fast forward to, you know, Jake and I get engaged and then we start planning our wedding. And you know, we hear the like shredding for the wedding bullshit all the time. And I was still trying to keep up that look of like thin, fit, muscular. But I think at a certain point during wedding planning, I was like, bro, I don't give a fuck. I was at a point where I was like, dude, I don't care about this shit anymore. Like, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy with my husband. I want to enjoy the food. I want to enjoy food because I've always loved food. I always loved food and eating different things and trying new things. And I think it just kind of clicked for me like a little bit before my wedding of like, what am I doing, dude? Like, why does it fucking matter? I don't care about how people view me and how people see me. And I think what really helped me is realizing that on social media, all the people that were commenting on my things, all the people that were giving me likes, I had no relationship with. These were just strangers on the internet. Now, mind you, I had people that I went to school with, and I had, some of my friends comment, but I think what hurts me the most is just knowing how much I lost myself in that process, all because I wanted to show other people, like, hey, look at my muscles and look at this. The shirtless pics, bro, I was a douchebag. I was the biggest douchebag. I was not lean machine. I was douchebagrina. Like, I was the biggest douchebag. The shirtless pics, the check-in pics I'd post, like, I look back and I'm just like, ugh, like, what was I thinking? But here's the thing. I really wasn't thinking. I was only thinking about like, oh, what instant gratification can I get from this? And I know like that takes a lot out of me to say, but I'm no shame, bro. Like, I literally, all I wanted was attention. All I wanted was people to see something cool that I was doing that nobody else could do. But let's be so fucking for real. Did I actually do that? I think back to my prep and I think back to how much I tried to cut corners. I would get ice cream here and there and I would hide them in my pictures. I would cut out my ice cream or blur it out in my pictures so coach didn't see. I was freshly 21, so I was going out. I was having a good time. I was getting, vodka sodas or, cranberry vodkas just to try to be healthy or whatever. And I would literally post in my caption, "Don't worry, coach, it's water." Huh? First off, toxic behaviors. Why would I ever do that? But yeah, that was my life for about 3 years. And I must say, like, damn, did that build me up? That build me up. I think that because I had pre-existing stomach issues prior to prep, my stomach issues came back. Post prep, post competing, I have GERD and IBS. I am a GERD survivor. When I stopped prepping, those stomach issues came right the fuck back because I wasn't watching what I was eating and I was just binging and indulging while also like res restricting. There was a lot of shit going on at that time. And I remember like with acid reflux, sometimes if it's really bad, you burp up this metallic taste. I remember I burped and I was like, oh my God, I'm back where I was at in college and in high school where I can't eat anything. So having GERD and having really bad acid reflux also led me to having restrictive behaviors where I would not eat anything but potatoes. My safe foods were potatoes, rice, soup, and I think spinach maybe. Those were only my safe foods. And because my safe foods were potatoes, French fries, tater tots, like all things potato. Listen, trust and believe, I love a fucking potato. I love anything potato in any form. But I think for like a solid month and a half, like my meals consisted of a French fries and maybe a salad with chicken on it, but that was my life for a couple months post competing. Man, this podcast is all over the place, but I just feel like I had so much to talk about. Let's see, what else is on the agenda? So celebrating who I am, not what I look like. So a few years after, or not even a few years, literally months after I got married, the pandemic happened. And we all know about the pandemic pounds. We all know about pandemic weight. I gained a lot of weight. I didn't really realize it because I felt like this freedom with food that I was just like, I'm gonna eat whatever the fuck I want. Nobody's gonna see me. Who cares? And then it got to the point where it was like very unhealthy. It wasn't, thankfully enough, it wasn't where I was like binging all the time, but like I was like, if my body wants it, I'm gonna give it to her, but not in a way where it was healthy because I don't even want to talk about like what my DoorDash and my Uber Eats account looked like at the time, but it was bad. It was bad. Words to past me. A short message that I want to send off to myself is, girl, what the fuck are you doing? What do you think you're doing? No, this is not what you want. This is not what you want, and this is not what you need right now. You are in school. You have so much going for you. This is the last thing that you need. I can promise you right now, in just a couple of months, in a couple of years, all that instant gratification and all that attention you are getting is not going to matter one bit. Not one bit. What matters the most to you right now is your family, the relationship you have with your friends, the relationship you have with your boyfriend. You have so much going for you, and it is not worth risking losing all of this. And I can honestly say, looking back at that time, I definitely was at risk of losing a lot of it. I want to honor you. This is part of my letter, by the way. I want to honor my younger self for the strength and resilience she had to go through with prepping and competing. I don't wanna, glamorize this sport. That's the last fucking thing I want to do. I want to acknowledge the pain that my younger self went through. I also want to acknowledge the naive part of myself and acknowledge, like, dude, you were young. You know what? I get it. I understand. I forgive myself for what I put my body and my mental health through. At one point, I really thought I was gonna die, whether it was going to be the sport that took me out, my eating disorder that took me out, or honestly myself, just with how low I was during that time of my life. So I want to end off this episode with just letting anyone who's listening know, if you've ever been through this, if you've ever gone through the miserable and really, really, really extreme sport, if you've ever gone through something like this, I hear you, I see you, and we're in this together, babe. If you are a current competitor and you are still going at it, Godspeed. You are the strongest woman or man in the world. I will never, ever, ever do anything like this ever again. But I give props to people who are still able to do this in a semi-healthy way, because this sport easily ruined my life. And so, with that, I hope that if you are listening to this and if you are still here with me, you know that I take full accountability for the choices I made and the decisions I made when I was 20, 21, 22, going through a time of my life where all I wanted was validation and attention. And just know that I take full accountability for that. But at the same time, I blame society, I blame the industry, I blame social media and just like the world of fitness. My relationship with working out is like I said at the beginning, non-existent. I don't really work out no more. The gym is no longer a safe place for me. I get triggered at the gym. I cry at the gym. I want to throw up at the gym just because of how much it reminds me of just competing. I do find other ways to work out and move my body. I love yoga. I love meditation. I do dance now. There's just so many different variations of working out that doesn't involve weightlifting. As much as I want to get back into weightlifting and building back my strength, I'm still not ready. I'm still not there yet. And I love all of my friends and I love all of my coworkers and peers that have such strong values in fitness and working out and just like are so good at it. My younger self yearned for that. And even now in my current self, I don't think I am capable of it just because of all the shit I've gone through. So, therefore, you know, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. I just want to share my experiences. And granted, honestly, I'm just going to say it, how fucked up that industry was and how fucked up it continues to be. But overall, like, if you choose to be part of something like this, like, that is your choice. And I can't judge. I can only take my experiences and run with that. So that is the episode. That is the episode. I don't believe there needs to be a part two to this, but this was really mentally exhausting to talk about because this is a part of my brain that I have not visited in years. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for supporting me. I do not wish these feelings that I experienced during this time on my worst enemy. But I hope you all got something from that. If you didn't, sorry. But if you did, I'm glad I could be here. But I'll catch you guys in the next episode. I love you. Bye.